This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last time on Do You Need a Ride?
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride?
Hello.
Brandy Posey.
What an intro.
If you had to order a donut right this second, what would you order? Do you guys think we should go to the Krispy Kreme drive-thru right now?
Ooh, what? Yes. There is one?
Yep.
Karen, make dreams come true.
Am I not the most fun mom in carpool? Do-do-do.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Why am I excited about donut? I gotta go back to drinking vodka. What's the donut? It's just got chocolate and nuts on it. Is it a chocolate and nut donut?
Like the peanuts?
Yeah, diced, I think.
You're talking about your chocolate frosting with nuts on top of the frosting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid I like that.
That is a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. That's more about your old man donut.
I'm classic glazed old fashioned.
Okay.
Oh,
I fucking love those. They remind me of like having to get up early for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like camp, you're going to get driven to the airport or some kind of a special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be either my... parents would that and coffee, or when we had to go to the airport and my family, my Aunt Kathleen lived right by SFO.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd go to her house first, and she always had donuts and Tang.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's that family thing.
Donuts feel like more of a reward to me than most other food, because donuts were the thing that we got after church when I was a kid. My grandmother would always take me and my brother to Dunkin' Donuts, and we got to pick out a dozen donuts for the family.
Yes.
And it's kind of why I just like went along with it for a long time.
Sure. You're like, I love church.
I'm like, I'm going to white knuckle through this sermon for a jelly donut.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah, jelly I don't want. Yeah. I was trying to think of one I don't want.
I only like jelly donuts, weirdly, at Dunkin' Donuts, because it's actually a jelly consistency.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, because a lot of them, it's like, this is fake. It's like too transparent.
Yeah, I hate that stuff.
Yeah. It's
not a fan of that.
Jelly with chunks.
Yeah. That's
what is the donut that is a twisty situation and it's glazed, but then there's some berry swirling going on?
Oh.
You just made up a donut.
Oh, God.
You can't just freelance donuts.
Oh, God.
Or freestyle.
I'm the freelance.
No, your donuts are only employees that deserve health care. Donuts deserve health care.
They will not get insurance.
There, it is something. I know it's a famous one. I'm just
a big fan of donuts for all.
It's a strawberry twist.
Isn't it? What's an eclair?
Well, an eclair is like a log with like a filling inside and chocolate on the top.
It has like pudding on the inside.
It's like a long Boston cream.
We know I don't like pudding.
Wait, is it pudding or whipped cream?
I think it's a pudding.
It's because of trauma at a buffet of a ranch drizzled across the brown pudding. I just won't ever eat pudding.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know.
And why do you get pudding at a buffet when there's ice cream? You get ice cream instead of pudding.
I had sensitive teeth as a child.
Are you Benjamin Button? I feel like you're aging backwards.
I'm aging right now.
Chris grew up in 1945.
But I look like a teenager. Or I will next year. I can't remember how that movie works. When does he go fly fishing a lot?
Oh, that's...
Oh, I never saw it.
That's in Act 3.
Oh, okay.
The river runs through it.
Yes, yes. They're all connected.
I only like Brad Pitt when he's dirty in a movie. So I don't watch him when he's playing a clean person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, did you see... If you see Meet Joe Black at the beginning, he gets hit by a cab. And it is one of the greatest things...
Show me that.
It is It was like the early days of CGI technology. Oh,
yeah.
And it was the realest. And they...
Aren't they smiling and flirting?
Yes. It's like a first date situation, I think it's with Vera Farmiga, and he gets up and it's like, well, great to meet you. And it's like, it's again, amazing on-screen chemistry. And he's like, they're like, they part on the sidewalk. And then it's that thing of like turning back and looking. And in the moment of like, oh my God, are they falling in love? Boom. He just gets fucking run over. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's bad. It looks bad.
It's bad. It looks like,
that's pretty funny.
It was the thing. It was the piece of CGI that everyone was like, what the fuck? It was like, now we're in this world. And then the next version of that, in my opinion, the next phase of that was the thing where it would be interior car, real life car accident experience where like two people are talking and then, which infuriated me.
Yeah, they just do that in commercials now.
Yes.
I don't need to see that.
No, I'm good.
It's very upsetting. It's second only to these days, how much vomiting there now is, like on camera, comedy vomiting, but it's real. I can't take it anymore.
No more comedy vomiting.
Nobody wants the comedy vomiting. No. Please.
No more. It's not funny.
No, I'm good. I think I've only thrown up maybe 12 times in my life.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I don't drink, and I never have, so I kind of like, that removes quite a few, and then I've always had a real cast iron stomach. So it's been maybe under 10, actually. It might be in the single digits still in vomit.
That means you don't ever get sick.
Pretty much. I very rarely get sick.
It also means you never dabbled with bulimia like the rest of us.
Really? You didn't have a shoebox under your bed?
No, I went the other way.
Jars in the sorority house?
Jars in the sorority house.
You've heard those fucking stories, right?
Oh, Well, there's that Calista Flockhart made-for-TV movie of her with anorexia. I remember watching that in home ec. And then, because it was like from the 80s or something.
Yeah.
And then it was at the time that Ally McBeal was a thing. We were like, we're watching Ally McBeal. Well, she probably did have a problem.
Yes. She did.
Last night I did a show with Barbara Gray, who you do your podcast with, and she talked about a woman who put her vomit or her menstrual blood and urine in jars as some sort of a protector for herself. That's she believed in.
That's my friend Angela.
What?
Every Angela's a witch. I don't know. She's got tiny jars of her blood.
That's
and piss
who Barbara
and,
was talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it okay that we're
how small?
About?
Oh, of course.
Tiny, tiny?
Tiny. Like real, real small jars.
Okay.
I don't condone what she does. She also puts her business card in there, too.
Wait, it's a spiritual barrier as well as a marketing scheme?
Well, she's a witch, and she thinks if you find her jar, you should be able to contact her.
You know... Yeah, that is fair witch.
So what
thinking.
Is she burying them in public parks? Like, how would you find her jar?
I mean, she's got them buried all over Echo Park.
No.
She's like.
That is, so that's early witchcraft, right?
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
She's been a witch for a long time, man. I've known her since I was 21. She's older, but in her 40s or something, but she wasn't this witchy when I know her, and then she's had two divorces, and now she's just bearing her blood all over Echo Park, man.
Yes.
Wow.
Is it a way to land a man?
Marriage. No, it's not that. It's protection.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Spiritual protection.
Yeah,
right?
It's a protection thing. If you
protection
guys,
from tampons.
Her and Ryan Singer do a little podcast all about all this shit.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know she was part of Ryan's podcast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's a boy. Ooh, this is where the magic happens. She talks all about where her blood's buried. We're talking about celebrities and cars earlier, and I didn't get it in there before because we riffed to the next thing. But the first time I ever bombed in Los Angeles. I almost got hit by Ron Jeremy in a Saturn.
Oh, no.
Because I was leaving the Comedy Store. I'd ridden my bike there for some reason. So I was just like, I'm going to ride my bike here today. And I was in my head because I just bombed. The worst bomb to this day, probably, that I think I've ever had.
At the store?
At the store.
Yeah. That's where it happens.
Might have been the first time I ever performed there. I was a baby comic. And this car just, without even looking, pulled out of the side of the road. And we T-boned. And I was like, who the fuck? Immediately, just full East Coast comes out. And then just the driver turned and looked at me. And it was Ron Jeremy.
Wow.
And I just lost every ounce of anger in my, just went away because I was so confused. I'd only been here maybe a year and a half, so I hadn't seen that many celebrities yet either.
Celebrities.
I mean, you know what I mean. It was just, that is a perplexing face to see in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, there he is. And he's older than he is in all the pictures and stuff. And then you're like, I gotta get out of here. And he's like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, I'm fine, Ron Jeremy. And I just kept going.
It's funny how he's the grossest dude ever.
Yeah.
I have so many friends, mostly women, that go and take a picture with him. And I'm like, what?
Never.
I wouldn't want to be.
I would never.
The one person that ran into me was, I was jogging and she pushed on the brakes at the last moment and then yelled, called me a word you can't say, the other F word, and flipped me off. And it was Jillian Barber, the Good Day LA. Good Day Live, Good Day LA. It was,
I used to have like a 10-minute chunk about her in my act.
Really?
Yeah, because she was so horrible.
Oh.
Yeah, she was, I turned to the guy next to me and I was like, was that the Good Day LA person? And he's like, yep.
A stranger you didn't know?
Yeah. We were both amazed. I was running and I was just at the edge of the curb and I was too close to the street for her. And that was enough for her to call me a very hateful word. Flip me off.
From her vehicle?
A Porsche, yeah. I was like, of course, a Porsche 911.
Yeah, who cares what the people around you is doing?
It was strange.
Bad Day LA, jeez.
Good Day LA, I used to hate watch it every morning because I couldn't believe, it's that thing, and it is very Los Angeles, where it's these people, in TV, in show business, in, TV movies or whatever, that you have to be hot as a woman to even get in the door.
Yeah.
So there's all these hot women that then somebody told them they were funny. And then they're off to the races. And it's a disaster area because they're none of those things.
No.
And that show and the way she acted on that show every day and the jokes she made, it was all like, pre-internet, social media, real social media.
Yeah.
And it was just garbage.
Looked like a Bill O'Reilly looking guy.
Yep. It was Dorothy Lucy was the second woman who was also on Funny, but she was more of you could tell she was this journalist that, whatever. Mm-hmm. She was trying to get hip.
And her and Jillian were always fighting.
Yes.
As I recall.
Or competing. Yeah. And then Steve, what's his name, was the guy that was basically placed in the middle and just, it was so uncomfortable.
He was looking into camera, shrugging all the time.
Just being because she wouldn't not say whatever stupid fucking idea came into her head that she saw at Spencer's Gifts. It was just a Spencer's Gifts joke bonanza.
Yeah, she blurted some Spencer Gift quotes at me and it was not...
Lordy, lordy, look who's 40.
After 40, it's patch. I think it's a balding joke.
Oh, shit. Then just one long fart sound for me.
Exactly.
There she is. That's the good stuff.
I used to have a Seymour Butts from Spencer's Gifts in my car in high school.
Yes.
You could press the thing and this guy would pull his pants down. So
love
just moving the car behind you.
Let's not forget it's a great place to buy lava lamps that are already broken.
I love
but not on sale.
No. Full dollar. I got my niece's lava lamps one year, and it was nice to be back in Spencer Gifts.
Sure.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
There's not a lot of fart-based gifts these days.
You can hardly find a pile of shit with eyes for slippers. It's everywhere.
The poop emoji has really cornered the market.
Yeah.
From the poop and fart stuff. So
it did so well in the Emoji Movie. They were just this is the character America loves and embraces.
Wasn't it Patrick Stewart?
Was it?
I think he's the voice of the poop emoji.
Oof.
Yeah.
Has anyone actually seen that? What if it's good?
Absolutely.
It's not.
There's no way.
There's simply
Karen didn't
no
do
way.
Punch up on it.
I would have thought Jumanji 1 and 2 wouldn't be good. You know, sometimes you get surprised.
Oh, man. Jumanji.
Yeah.
Jumanji 1 is awesome. I haven't seen 2.
Yeah, me either. We should do that. We should do it. We should live podcast during it.
Let's
see
do
how many
it.
People scream at us.
We went to see No Brag Cats. Oh, look, Larry David's going to Walmart. we went to see Cats and we had the entire theater to ourselves and it was fucking hilarious.
I have yet to go. I'm pretty excited about it. But I've heard that from a few different people because Barb Tess and a few of our friends went for an 8:30 a.m. showing.
Yeah, what?
Because they wanted to have it and they wanted to be a little bit delirious while it was happening.
Wow. That's so sweet. Where was it playing at 8:30?
The Americana.
Wow. My favorite.
That is fucking hilarious. You can go, sir, because you are waiting and I don't want you to kill me.
Oh, this is the drive-thru. Yeah. We got it. Yeah, that guy is more in. He's
let him get
furiously
that donut.
Seeking a donut.
He's furiously furious in this.
Just gonna let him have it.
Yeah, you can have it, sir. Oh.
Is the Cats movie? Is it just a remake of the musical?
Yeah.
That's why it's weird.
Yeah, because it's not. That musical is kind of terrible.
Yeah.
But sure. It was like, it basically had Broadway live talent. You have to be an incredible talent to be in it because they're making those people do all the shit that's, you know, the dancing's amazing and obviously you have to sing and stuff.
Well, you got
to
be able to lick your own butthole.
Right.
I mean, that in itself.
This is a shit-based episode if I've ever heard one. It's the, what do they call that in music? It's the,
Scat?
Come on. Yes.
Sometimes puns. shit music?
The leitmotif is what I was going to say. Like a fucking asshole.
I like that Scatman John song. Because it's actually very empowering if you listen to the lyrics.
What's
too.
That? What are you
talking about? You know that? Bee ba 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 da bop.
Bee ba 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 da bop.
Ba 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 da bop.
Bee ba 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 da bop. That's it. Just that over and over.
And that's, you find that empowering,
well,
Randy?
The verses, if you read the verses, he had a really bad stutter. And the song is all like, everybody stutters one way or the other. So check out my message to you. As a matter of fact, don't let nothing hold you back. If a scat man can do it, so can you. And it's all about like him getting over his stutter. By scatting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very empowering song.
God.
I always felt like no karaoke book has ever had it, but I feel like if you could pull off that song in karaoke, you could end the night.
Yeah, well, because everyone has laughed.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there some underlying self-help message to the open the door, get on the floor, everybody walk the dinosaur? Boom, boom, akalakalaka, boom. I remember just wanting to leave the earth, not in a suicide-y way, but there was that era of music where it was the Macarena and that Everybody Walk the Dinosaur.
Yeah.
All those songs. I'm like, okay, this place isn't made for me.
It was like almost like a post-Barney reality that we all went into where it's like, maybe things should just be for children. Yeah. Maybe everything should be for children.
Yeah. It does feel good to acknowledge the existence of evolution, though.
Yes,
it
does. We are evolving.
It also feels so good to go, hey, Macarena. I was in the grocery store and the Macarena came on and I was like, this is the most irritating song of all time, except when that one guy goes, hey, Macarena. It like comes in and goes out by itself. Hey, Macarena.
Yikes. Sorry, I can't not do that part.
All the parts are good.
I went to
music's better. Yeah.
This will tie in the Macarena and my weird witch friend that plants blood all over Echo
Park. Finally.
So she's friends with a bunch of influencer witches.
Which is a
thing. And so sometimes she'll be like, hey, do you want to come to a thing with me? And I'm always like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want to see this whole world.
Sure.
So the other night we went to, there's this new, I don't know how new it is, but there's an exclusive club called Cloak and Dagger. Have you heard about this place?
No.
It's like a goth witch club in Hollywood. it's a real piece of shit. But you, The rules, it's very funny because you have to wear all black and you cannot take photos. If you take photos, your membership will be revoked.
Oh,
the,
you have to become a member.
Well,
I'm out.
You have to be a member or you have to be on the list of a member.
So okay.
But also,
it's like the Magic Castle.
If you're on the list, they also need your Instagram handle because they have to look up how many followers you have. That's
oh
how you get a
my, cube. For it's, the love of Pete.
But
then,
everything
but
is the
then
worst.
You can't take pictures. That's
yeah.
ironic.
But okay. They have a photographer walking around all night.
Oh, okay.
So that you have to pay for
yeah,
pictures.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
wow.
It was a real shit show. But there was like the music they were playing was like, you know, your goth hits that you would expect, like your Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson, like your Nine Inch Nails, Closer, all that stuff.
Sure.
But then there'd be like Britney Spears in the middle, but then they would have like the same, the DJ was like kept everything at the same beats. There was this weird like kind of goth beat throughout every song. I kept being like, are they gonna, they're gonna play top 40, they're gonna play like the cha-cha slide or something.
Are you sure you weren't just at a
happen.
Hot Topic?
Huh? Oh yeah. No, every guy was wearing a vest.
Yeah, yeah.
And they thought they had cults, but they just had ponytails. Like that's
yeah.
what was going on.
Wow.
I was stayed for about 75 minutes and then I was like, I can't meet anybody else without laughing in their faces. I'm exhausted from trying to be good. Also the Angela's friend Melissa had like a table with bottle service and I don't drink, so I just drank all their orange juice.
And then they had no mixers.
Yeah, so I just drank, that's my move at a club. I just yeah. drink all the mixers.
So sorry, aside from like say dancing yeah. or drinking, mm-hmm. what is that club for?
Yeah.
What would you do there?
I think it's for people in there, it's like to feel like you're a real gothy person. Like everyone is wearing black.
Okay.
And just like very dour. Mm-hmm. And then you would just meet, because I was like, oh, I'm a sarcastic person, but my personality is much too sunny for a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd meet somebody, and I'd be like, oh, hey, I'm Brandy, how you doing? Like, oh, hi, I'm a member here. And I'd be like, cool,
yeah.
do you have a name?
Garth Rock the Destroyer. All right.
Everybody looked like they were just, everyone's waiting for a vampire. It looked if like,
wow.
The bar from True Blood was made by Renaissance Festival people. Like,
oh.
That's the vibe that it has.
Is there,
for sure.
Can I ask some style questions?
Yes,
absolutely. Are there steampunk goggles on heads?
I didn't see any goggles.
And a top hat?
It was a lot of, there were top hats.
Okay,
I didn't see any goggles on the top hats, though. There was a lot of mesh,
yeah.
a lot
mm-hmm.
of pleather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those, like gothy, messy pigtails.
Yeah. How about giant flared out Janko sized pants, but with straps hanging down the side?
There was definitely bells and whistles hanging off the pants, but
yes,
they weren't
yes.
like the big, they're more tight fitting than
yeah, yeah,
than elsewhere.
Yeah. Everyone slimmed up.
It was really funny.
Do you think this is kind of like an S&M club for a starter S&M club for cowards?
It felt like it was, it felt like it was definitely going to get there. I left right after midnight because at midnight they turned down the music and the DJ like, led everybody in like a prayer about like I don't know, like finding your potential for the year or something.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, it
at
was weird.
At the club?
At the club, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He turned down
Come
everything.
On.
I was rolling my eyes so hard. I was like, this has been an entertaining hour. But then I got in my lift to go home and the guys in the lift were like, oh, it sounds fun. And I was like, no, I'm shitting on this thing with you.
Yeah, stop it.
Don't.
You know what'd be great is if they had that club and then there was a section, a roped off section outside filled with bullies.
Yeah.
As people left, they just got the shit beaten out of them.
I mean,
them.
That's
Chad's and
just
Kyle.
Like high school. Okay,
look,
everybody get ready because we're coming up to the order thing and I've never been here before. I don't
oh,
know.
No.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Ooh, should we get a box of minis?
Ooh.
Then we could have one of everything.
It's safer
Ooh.
Than me describing this very swirly thing.
Are you okay not getting your very favorite thing?
Yes, yeah.
I'm going to eat whatever we get. I'm very
this
excited.
This is exciting.
About it.
Steven, do you...
I'm
do you
rider,
need a
I'm ride or die for any donut.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Then
okay.
Let's do a box of minis so that we're not like
perfect.
Yeah.
And you could bring them to the show.
Oh, I'll be a hero.
Right?
I love walking into a place with food.
Yeah, people love it.
It
yeah.
feels really good.
God, I've never been that person.
I've only seen it go really badly once. I was in a festival in Atlanta. And me and James Fritz had come from a different show and we're going to like the house where everybody was staying. And James is like not this person, but he was like, yeah, let's go to Crystals. I'm going to buy like $40 worth of Crystals. It's 1 a.m. We're going to be the heroes of the party. And he was so excited and he spent $40 on Crystals. Oh, we're about to order.
Hi, welcome to Christina. Can I help you?
Hi. Can we get a box, like a variety box of the minis?
Yeah, for the minis, we have strawberry sprinkle, chocolate sprinkle, the chocolate, and the glaze.
That's perfect.
Did you want 5 of each?
Great.
Okay, anything else for your order?
That's going to be it.
No drinks for you tonight?
No, thank you. Does anybody want a drink?
I'm good. Right,
okay, thank you.
Can't wait.
Did we just get 25 donuts?
20 tiny donuts.
20 tiny.
They're 20 tinies.
Oh, they listed 4 different ones, 5 of each. That's 20. Math,
yeah.
Huh?
Math, right?
Nailed it.
This 2020.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's fine. So Fritzy buys $40 worth of crystals, which crystals is like a lot of like mini cheeseburgers and stuff. Roll up to the party. Dave Stone had just put out a bunch of barbecue that he had finished making.
Oh.
So no one ate Fritz's crystals, and then he just sadly ate $40 worth of crystals in order the entire night.
Wow.
Because Dave Stone's a great cook, right?
An amazing cook, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the worst.
I laughed in Fritz's face all night long. Could not stop laughing at him. He was like, I've never done this before and I'll never do it again.
Yeah, it really bit him in the ass.
It really did.
There's one time I went to a birthday party and my mom gave me, she had made suckers, like lollipops, where there's like, they're shaped like something, you pour candy into a metal perimeter.
And they were
peppermint or spearmint or cinnamon flavored, and she maybe put too much of that in it, and every kid was like crying their mouth if it was like they got pepper sprayed in the mouth, and I was the one that brought them, like crying, like they had to get picked up and taken home.
You shut that birthday party down.
Yeah, I really just want to be a hit, and it's just never happened.
Have you guys noticed the phenomenon, and it's not just in Los Angeles, but I've noticed it mostly here, where a pretty girl will bring like a cake or something that she's made to a party, but then not eat it, but then watch you eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I've seen that a lot. Eating at gunpoint, I call it.
Yeah. I hate it. I'm like, why don't you eat your cake? Yeah. Oh, no, you're going to get off and like watching me eat it and like seeing how much self-control you have to not eat your beautiful cake.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, it happens.
I hate it.
That's this whole town.
And then they ask you to slowly describe the flavor. Mm-hmm. And then they say slower.
Say it again.
Now you're naked.
British accent.
Where are we?
You know what's funny? I went through a phase in the 90s. I used to make everybody their birthday cake.
Aw, Karen.
Thank you.
Are you a good baker? Are you a baker?
I had a heart. Oh. Well, you know what it was? I do like to bake, but it bothered me. We'd have these birthday parties, and it would just be all people getting shit-faced and stuff, and I'd be like, no, we should, it's really their birthday. Like, we should be, it's fun. And the first one was because I think it was for, I made Paul Tompkins a birthday cake that was the poster for Jaws, and it was very, it was not that realistic. I mean, I wasn't that good of an artist. Mm-hmm. So we did it with, like, and it was me and Danny Ceballos, but we did it with, like, we kind of drew the icing. Danny was a pretty good artist. I cut out the picture of the lady and stuck it in. It was like paper at the top.
Yeah.
The lady swimming.
Yeah.
But for the shark's teeth, I've stuck in slivered almonds.
It
actually looked like shark teeth.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And then once I did that and people went fucking batshit for it, then I was like, well, now I'm making cakes for it. I'd be like, what's your cake gonna be? And one time I think it was David Cross's birthday. I was gonna make this cake. It was gonna be a different design. And then the cake, when it baked, it rose and then broke in half.
Ah.
And it wasn't doing it at the beginning, and then as it was cooling, it was just breaking more and more.
Oh, no.
So then I turned it into a battle scene where it was soldiers shooting across like a ravine.
Little army men? Love that you did
that's
this.
That's Antietam.
It was cowboys and Indians shooting across a ravine.
Oh, that's so, what a great save.
It all became about me, really, at the end of the day.
About saving the day. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds amazing.
Terrific. Yeah. I need to see more arts and crafts out of you in 2020.
I'll do my best. I think, funny? My sister got me a watercolor kit for Christmas. Because she's like, I think you'd like to do it. And I was just like, really? I've never said that in my life. But actually, now that you mention it, I will like to do it.
That sounds great. I used to do Bob Ross paintings at Michael's Crafts when I was in middle school.
There's a show in New York that's the Bob Ross Challenge, and everyone tries to paint the same painting
Yeah.
at one show at one time.
Oh, that's fine.
I would love
this
that.
Was like a teacher That, because there's Bob Ross certified teachers. You have to be certified by the Bob Ross people.
Is that true?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. There's like an academy and a class that you had to take.
I think that's 13. Pretty sure.
I should do that.
I mean, it was very soothing. I have like four. My parents still have four of them at my dad's house.
Did it's you pretty do pretty cool. good? You did a little.
I did pretty good.
Pretty green trees.
Yeah, yeah.
Little happy trees.
I'll send you some pictures of those, Stephen. I just took photos actually when I was home. My signature is way too big because I was in sixth grade.
Sure, and you're into it.
Yeah, exactly. But I got some pretty good Bob Ross.
Thank you so much.
Did they have you use a lot of sponges?
Look at this.
Painting with sponges.
Oh.
Oh my God, these are adorable.
Wait, let me see.
Look at these little guys.
They're so cute.
I have a couple napkins in here.
Yeah.
They're absolutely precious.
They're so cute. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, people don't like eating noises, right? It sounds like we're doing make-out Foley work.
Yeah, but we can fucking cut it for 1 second because we can't sit with a brand new donuts and not eat.
We got to park in an empty parking lot and crack this baby open.
I mean, that's how you eat donuts, right?
Look at the West Elm. Okay, wait, we'll do this. I'm going to rip this one in half.
We are eating a box of donuts, everybody. Shit.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey Diner listeners, engineer Stephen Ray Morse here to say that if you hate the sounds of chewing and eating, I'd suggest you skip ahead about 2 minutes and then you'll be good. Thanks, and now back to the show.
Wow, these smell good.
They smell really good. Oh my God, this is gonna be so delicious. I'm taking a straight up glaze.
Oh, I want, there's a Simpsons one.
Yeah?
I'm gonna take a big Simpsons one.
Do it.
Here you go.
I'm gonna grab this one.
Glaze.
I'm gonna get a chocolate glaze.
We all took a different one.
Yay. These are amazing.
These are delicious.
These are really good.
These are so fucking good.
I mean,
wow.
I'm really worried that I'm getting frosting on your car, but I think it's just getting on my shirt and pants.
Okay. Yeah, don't worry about it.
But before we take off, I might get out and shake because this is a This is crispy, creamy, and flaky. They're so good.
They're really good.
You guys want to hold the box?
I should totally hold the box for 1 second so I can eat one more of this kind.
Drink anything else, Stephen? You're good? Okay.
What's in the box, Stephen? We made you break the...
Made me eat twice on this podcast.
I know.
As a producer, this is difficult for you. Well, it's good. I feel like I've been in church with you guys.
Right?
The real comedy church situation. That's what's going on right now.
We want to be full service as a podcast. And if... eating donuts along with you does that.
I'm gonna bring the rest of these to this mic. It'll be like, these are from Do You Need a Ride? And everyone's gonna lose their mind. Like, what? I'm like, yeah, you gotta hear about it next week.
You'll see.
It'll feel like shitty time travel. I ate the donuts they talked about today. Whoa.
Oh, that was really great.
Oh my God.
You're supposed to experience a sugar high, right? Not immediate nappiness.
Well, I mean, maybe.
That might be part of your high.
Oh, man. I'm a sleepy dog. Well, that was a fun donut break, and I'm glad we took it.
Me too.
Absolutely.
You know what? Sometimes you just gotta say, what the fuck? Also, the traffic was
my resolution this year. Say what the fuck.
Just say it.
With Mark Maron.
So you just took care of it.
Yeah.
With Mark Maron.
Yeah. One time I told him that whenever I listen to his podcast, I put it on 1.5 speed because it makes him sound caffeinated and optimistic.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And he stared at you?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, God.
He gets his cat food at the same place that my dog food is from. There's a place called Rock Dog in Eagle Rock owned by a comedian. And he's always there, and Bill Dwyer is there often, too.
Bill Dwyer is one of the greatest stand-ups of all time.
He's a sweetheart.
I miss him.
Yeah, I miss him too. He's still alive and well. We just there's so many people we don't just run into anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rock Dog and Cat and Eagle Rock. Bill Dwyer is often there hanging out because him and the owner of that place, they own a dog walking company together.
Oh, really? Who owns the place?
Peter, I'm not going to know his last name. He's a comedian though. Older comedian, kind of bald.
Gotcha.
From Boston originally. I think that's how he knows Mariner.
Neville Dwyer co-owns a dog walking company?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart.
Yeah. He is a good fellow. I remember when I met him, because he's one of the hosts of the original BattleBots, which was one of my favorite TV shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember being like, you're one of the hosts of BattleBots. And he was like, you give a shit about that show? It's robots beating up each other, which is, I think, is the only way that humans survive. That we turn the robots against each other.
That's right. True.
Yeah. And also, I got a lot of opinions about BattleBots. Because, you'd have the people that would make the wedge, and the wedge always wins. Some people would have, this arm, the slammer that would slam down.
Yeah.
But you could get under it.
Right.
You could get under and flip it over.
It's a ramp driving towards you. You have no chance.
Yeah, exactly.
I just saw the gif of the upsetting robot dog things that they make.
Oh, the way they move?
Except for there's that classic gif where someone put a banana peel down and it just slips and falls and it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very scary, except for if they encounter kind of anything.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And just simply and then they fall
it
over.
Just goes like that.
Yeah.
You can't get back up.
It makes me feel good.
Yes.
I'm glad we can still take them.
I think they've built in a couple of those, once they slip on a banana, it's dead forever type of things.
Right, right. Well, I don't want to live in a world where you can't laugh at a robot falling down.
Please.
Well, I hope in the robot apocalypse, it's old-timey clown tricks are the only way to keep them away. So it's you have to have a seltzer bottle and a whipped cream pie and a banana on you at all, and a rubber chicken. That's how you fight off the robots in
That's
the future.
That's right, because they can't handle shame.
Yeah.
Just like me and my mini donuts.
Oh, God, I should have just had two. Three was too many.
Yes, three was definitely a mistake, but I'm smiling for no reason.
I had four.
And I can feel them in my veins.
I'm smiling, and I know there's chocolate on my teeth. No, Garu sees it.
Sorry, are we... Oh, Vineland, that's right.
Okay. Yes.
Perfect.
Do you want me to pull up directions, or do you know where you are?
I think I can do it. If it's okay. You say it's on...
It's on Burbank Boulevard.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
And we're still good. It's not even showtime.
I know, yeah.
This is going to work out perfectly.
Yeah, this is great. I'm going to be on. I'm never on time for this show. I'm going to be like, whoa. Should be good. I'm very excited.
Do you have new bits for 2020?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Do I? Have I written anything new?
You've heard some great stuff tonight on the show.
Exactly. I was going to talk about menstrual blood in a jar.
Angela stands up in the back. That's my bit.
So glad. When I brought that up, my back started to sweat. I'm so glad you had my back on.
Oh, yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Please.
Yeah,
If I just said menstrual blood in a jar, and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It would have been such a Chris Fairbanks moment for me.
No, I not only knew what you're talking about, I'm good friends with the person who does it.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Look, this is what happens in LA. You got a lot of people in your corner. She's delightful. She's one of my best friends.
You got a lot of people in your corner. People understand no matter what the fuck you're doing.
Look, all I know is that if somebody fucks with me, I got a witch with blood all over Echo Park.
Yeah.
That's on my team.
Protection. I also like that idea that it's the way, that's how you're going to get your protection.
Yeah.
Just because it's... Why is that any less valid than putting a weird, a wrench in your glove box or something?
Well, it's like, what would I rather you do? Have a bunch of jars of blood all over Echo Park or have a gun? I'd rather you bury a bunch of blood jars all over.
Blood jars.
When I'm walking around and I think there's going to be a mugger, I just offer him one of my mother's secret recipe, cinnamon lollipops. It's a slow burn.
I mean, what a whimsical way of warding off felons.
You could rob me, but wouldn't you like to lick this?
But before you do that...
Here's a lolly instead.
My tongue!
No! Foiled again!
do you like our mutual foiled again?
You both did it.
Yeah, we definitely.
I think I just went into a very light donut coma.
Yeah. Oh, mine was immediate.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty great.
It's serious.
It might turn into a donut 8 hours sleep.
That's the beauty of Krispy Kreme, is you don't need melatonin anymore.
No, you just gotta peak on sugar and then let yourself pass out.
Yeah,
I really are. Will you guys be furious if I say that was my first time having Krispy Kreme?
Whoa,
not at all.
Yeah,
no.
I don't.
I'm glad we were here for it.
Yeah, I've never
felt special.
I didn't know they had a drive-through either.
You know, for a first time, I wish that you had... Those ones were clearly not straight out of the oven.
Yeah. Right?
Or whatever, fryer.
The out of the oven is the...
People go there at 6 in the morning to get them, right? Like, yes. You wake up early and put on a special outfit.
Yep, called sweatpants.
I used to do that in Philly, because I went to college in Philly, and whenever I'd do, like, film shoots and stuff, I'd go up, just couldn't sleep the night before shooting something, so I'd go to the soft pretzel factory and get a box of soft pretzels for a crew at, like, 5:30 in the morning when they opened. And they were hot out of the factory, the bunch of mustard and stuff.
How big?
Oh, big old pretzels.
Those big ones.
The big ones covered in salt. Mmm, so good.
I just love a hot pretzel. I call them hot pretzels.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to say soft, but I call them hot pretzels. I love them so much. It's so odd. And, like, and the gastropub-y type places, they're all the rage now. So everyone has a pretzel these days.
Oh, I love them so much.
They're the best.
I like them. They're like pizza to me, where it's like, even a bad soft pretzel is still an amazing soft pretzel.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've mentioned this before, but speaking of pretzels and pizza, my sister, when we'd eat pizza out as a family, because I was a kid, she would make me ask for mustard at Pizza Hut or Godfather's Pizza, I think it usually was, which was embarrassing. But if you put mustard on a pizza crust, it just turns into a pretzel.
Yeah.
Oh.
Minus the salt and the shape.
Well, now Pizza Hut has
and
a...
And the taste.
Pizza Hut has a pretzel crust now, actually.
My sister invented that.
She should have gotten the patent.
Yeah.
She would have nailed it.
Wait, have you tried it?
No.
Oh, I wonder if that's good.
I
did try the Cheez-It pizza that one of them did. I did a podcast where they ordered it, and it's like a giant Cheez-Its filled with cheese and pepperoni. And
what?
It made me feel crazy.
Yes, it would be.
My heart was beating. I drank 5 glasses of water afterwards.
You said a giant cheese filled with cheese, and that was just, it immediately made me really happy. There's cheese in there, cheese.
I thought you said it's a giant Cheez-It filled with
cheese. No, it's a giant Cheez-It.
Oh, that is what you said.
Oh, yeah, it's a Cheez-It. It's a giant Cheez-It with like a mozzarella.
Holy shit.
And I think it might be a Pizza Hut dish.
That can't have tasted good. It can't have.
No, it wasn't very good. It tasted like a bad mozzarella stick.
Yeah.
Because, like, the outside of a mozzarella stick kind of is a little bit cheesier, different. It was bad.
Yeah, wow.
But
I ate it
on microphone. just eating a lot of stuff on mics. That's my 2020 resolution, is more eating on microphone. Yes.
Steven's digging his fingernails into his palms right now.
Well, I think everyone wants to do a diet thing because over the holidays you're eating all your... family's cookies, but my dad and his wife just don't eat much anymore.
Yeah.
They eat like one meal a day, and I lost weight over the holidays.
No,
because I wasn't really venturing out. It's cold outside, so I was like, I'll have some Triscuits, maybe a thing of string cheese, and go to bed. And
I'm like, perfect.
Came back 7 pounds lighter.
See, unfortunately, my sister being a grammar school teacher, her house is filled with everything from her first day of break, because she gets 1,000 presents, and all the presents are like a mug filled with Hershey's Kisses with blah, 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 whatever. And then she does those cookie swaps where everyone bakes cookies and then gives each other, you know, half a dozen of each one. So she had so much stuff at her house. My favorite being those peanut butter cookies that they stick a Hershey's Kiss, so I basically combined the two.
Oh, those are amazing.
I had a couple of those. Those were at the house, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, those things are good.
Those things rule.
Yeah.
We just drove past the Good Night. I wanted you to get your cookie story out, though.
Got it. So worth it. Worth it. I should have driven 1,000 miles for that fucking story.
But if you... Perfect. You could probably go through this.
Funny, is it on this side of the street or other?
It's on this side of the street.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just a sketchy alleyway.
I mean, you're not afraid of an alley. You're just the guy from Drive.
I paid for this fucking alley with my taxes. I lived in Burbank for 15 years. These are my alleys.
And you take a left here, and then it's like the next block.
Oh, okay. Back that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See what I can do.
That little like.
Let's see what blue, we can do with this.
Blue yep. neon
Everything
sign.
Looks good, but that guy, of course, is going faster than he should.
Everybody on Burbank Boulevard is going a million miles an
it's
hour.
It's a blue neon sign to the left.
Oh, okay, oh, cool. Oh.
Yeah.
Look, is this potential. Gonna work as a drop off? And wait, are you too early?
I mean, I'm a few minutes early, but I can be early for a show for once in my life.
Oh, okay. Well, we can also just sit here.
We can. I'm more than happy to also just sit here. Okay. Oh, those are the donuts shifting around.
Everyone eat two more donuts. Let's just see what happens.
Oh, God. I'm
real crazy
now. I don't think I could.
No, I don't think I should.
No, I can't have any more. I think I still feel it in my veins. It's
but
good.
They were, I mean, I'm really telling good, you, these were mini donuts, like smaller than your palm.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, you know.
Well, I feel like I ate the equivalent of one donut, but I feel like one Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
Half the enjoyment is just mini. You know, I love miniatures.
What's your favorite miniature?
Oh, just dollhouse furniture and stuff. But I just, that donut is small enough to where it was just made me think of a better, smaller time.
Yeah.
When things were small.
Yes.
I grew up across the street from a horse farm that had a miniature pony at it when I was growing up. Also, and right before I was born, there was also a retired circus lion that lived there, but he died shortly before I was born, unfortunately. Oh. But I would always hear about the retired circus lion that would just hang out.
Smoking cigarettes.
Do you think he was happy?
I think so.
Wow.
That fucking that guy idiot.
Was, yeah, well, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Who are you mad at? The whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Everyone, we are witnessing amazing
Burbank
things.
Boulevard is a wild as hell time
yeah,
right now.
And that, why is that guy's brights on?
Because he's parking terribly. Oh, yeah, oh, you yeah. blew it. That was all you.
And
you
that was a huge
shit.
Spot. It was a huge spot.
It was so big.
It was a huge spot, but he couldn't do it in front of two comics knowing he would be shit on not being able to parallel park.
Yeah, this place is great for a bunch of comics just talking shit and smoking outside.
That place, that guy, we did almost witness a guy getting hit by a car.
Yeah,
that
was
that
close.
Was very real.
But also, why are you walking across Burbank Boulevard in the dark with your hood up, holding thinking that all these cars are going 80?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All while he had a bucket of ice cream or popcorn.
Did he?
Yeah, he had some treat.
Some kind of treat with him.
I have to say this too. You just said bucket of popcorn. This thing happened in my stomach and now I'm starving. And it's those fucking donuts.
Yeah.
This is how my system works. It's just like, oh, a little bit of sugar. Go get all the sugar.
Yeah.
Now eat 29 things. It's so awful. Wait a second. Is that guy Branham?
Sure looks like him.
Is that him? It might not. It might
or
be
is
him.
It a weightlifter?
Well, no, he has a
I think
walk
it's a weightlifter.
About him. He has a bit of a tough guy walk.
Yeah, there is another guy that looks like him in silhouette named Ian Ager. That's a younger comic who is one of the co-hosts of this show.
Oh,
so it's him and a comic named Joe Kay who started comedy because of me, which is exciting.
Hey,
yeah, he came to a picture of this and was like, I want to do comedy, so he started going to open mics after that. I'm inspirational.
Yes.
It's true.
I've had a lot of people in LA, younger comics, tell me that I was the first person that was nice to them in Los Angeles. And I'm always like, oh, well, look how far it's gotten me.
I actually recently had someone tell me I was the one, like, nice person to them in the shitty, clicky circle that we were in that. In the the Largo era,
mm-hmm.
And when he was telling me, I was just like, "I'm positive you're thinking of somebody else." I just was not a nice person. Like, I don't understand how this is possible. I love the idea of it though. In the middle of all my like, I'm just vicious to everyone around me, my closest friends. But mm-hmm. then there's like one comic that was like, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah.
How are you? I hope you're doing good. And then everyone else, get the fuck away from me.
Oh, that's so funny.
Now, someone over there is wearing a scarf. And that's what?
Who could be wearing a scarf?
Is this a high-class show?
No, that's definitely not true.
Oh.
Maybe it's just a scarf for warmth.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, those warmth.
It is a little chilly out.
It is
freezing.
Yeah, it's gotten very cold here.
I just came from a place that was 10 degrees and I came back here and I'm still willing to.
It's still cold.
Yeah.
It's still cold. That's awful.
I really want to go to the show.
You should come in.
I want to, but these guys need to. I have to drive these guys back.
Oh, come back afterwards.
Maybe I will.
You should.
Maybe I will.
You should. It's going to be a good time. I'll hang out. I'll hang out if you come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, maybe you'll get on stage and and do stand up again.
I'll riff 15 new minutes and I'll be back, baby.
Yeah, it will feel good the whole time. No pain at all.
It won't be awful at all. What was I watching? Oh, shit, you guys. Have you seen the Amazing Jonathan documentary?
I want to.
You have to. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Well, there's a couple of them. One that, I can't remember the comic that name, but they were both came out at the same time. There's one on Hulu, one on Amazon.
The one on Hulu is about the ones coming out at the same time. It's amazing. Basically like the guy thinking he was the guy and then learning he wasn't.
That's what I saw. And it was great. Is that what you were talking about? Yeah.
But it reminded me because watching him, he was like going back on stage because he's, you know, got a terminal illness and he is like, I don't know, I just gotta get it back up there. And I just watching him going like, the difference is that you're actually doing it though. Cause it's like, it sucks so bad. He was like, you know, at the height of his shit in the like 80s, late 80s, right? Mm-hmm. He was like on every TV show. He was like so huge. And now he's just back like with his props doing his magic in like a room full of 30 people or whatever, where I was just like, it's just so fucking gutsy to return after basically, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, it's just so.
Yeah. He's one of the, it's funny because people like to be like, my favorite comedians, like Pryor, Carlin, but I'm like, well, the age that I am, Amazing Jonathan.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey, that like Chop and Broccoli special.
Oh, yeah.
That is like, I've watched that stand up special more than anything else, I think, because it was just always on Comedy Central when I was homesick from school.
Yeah, they did play it a lot.
Yeah, that is probably the biggest comedy special to me.
Yeah. There was a special we used to watch constantly called The Paragon of Comedy, and it was this guy who was from the Groundlings, and it was the mid 80s, and his name was John Paragon. And he was Jambi on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Jambi.
The genie.
Yeah, the genie.
Yeah.
But this was basically, they were all the Groundlings together. Mm-hmm. So, cause Paul Rubens is in this with John Paragon, it's John Paragon's show. And we watched it and quoted it. And I thought it was like the pinnacle of comedy. And when I went back and watched it, like recently, I was just like, oh no. Like it's just a way overdeveloped characters kind of doing nothing and like doing it like Valley Girl voice. I'm like, that's the entire sketch is Valley Girl voice. It was hilarious, but we thought it was like so brilliant.
God, I feel like I've seen it. That rings a bell, but it's so distant. Yeah. The stand up that stood out to me the most was just stand up was on MTV, the A-List and the half hour comedy hour. With I forget the host, but I just remember those so vividly. I wonder if I went back and watched them.
Didn't David Spade host Half Hour Comedy Hour the first time around? Or Paul Provenza?
Boy.
Not gonna be able to tell you.
I just keep naming people.
No, they all hosted those things, though.
I think they did.
Yeah.
Half Hour Comedy Hour was actually like the week I start. I think I've told this story, but the week I started stand up, because I'd wanted to do it since I was like 12, and I finally did it when I was 19, and I was so stoked, and I really thought I was like, I'm so groundbreaking. I'm like the first female comic to be like me on stage. And then literally like 4 days later, I saw Janine's Half Hour Comedy Hour, and I burst into tears and ran out of the room. And all my friends gave me shit for so long, because I was like, I'm kind of cool and bitchy and blah, 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 and this and that. And then it's like Janine with these unbelievable jokes. Like all her jokes were like so rock solid but also interesting and new. And I was just like saying like, oh, I have to stop doing this. I'm not only not the first, I'm like a pale version.
Remember when I first started, I didn't know how to do stand-up. I did not get into stand-up. So I took like a 4-week workshop at the IO West. And our teacher was kind of like a road lady, so not great, not my taste.
Right,
I'll say it that way.
There's many styles.
Yeah, many styles.
So,
and
so, who the fuck is anyone to teach anybody?
Road lady.
I spent 4 weeks arguing with her because I disagreed with every note that she gave me, and I just remember her at one point being like, You're one of those Janine Garofalo types.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, you say it like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, wow.
I 1000% will demand for you to tell me the name of that person when this podcast
is out.
Oh, absolutely.
I've got some guesses.
Uh-huh. She has a kick in her act. That's the only clue I'll give you.
Well, that's funny too, because really when stand-up started, there was one style and then there was like slight versions, but for the most part, mm-hmm. it was very stylistically narrow. Mm-hmm. And then I think, yeah, and then when the 90s came around, it was suddenly like, how dare you not be going up going, so I got married last week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I just remember arguing every point. She'd be like, we'll take the joke in this direction. But that's not what I want to do.
Yeah. When I first moved to LA, there was a woman that, a man, I'm not going to say her name either, but she told me I needed to start doing voices and characters.
Can you do, do you have a character right now?
I really do. Come on into the building.
A choking security guard?
Yeah, he's always got something in it, some nuts in his throat, like some almonds.
He's constantly got a handful of almonds he's throwing into his mouth, and then something bad happens.
Well, let me get the door for you. You'll notice my face is red. Why? I'm choking.
I have a nut allergy, actually. Why do I keep eating the egg?
Which floor? Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, if you ask, I deliver.
That was great.
Also, my eyes were crossed that whole time. You can't see.
Because you were joking.
That was her other note, cross your eyes.
Cross your eyes while doing comedy.
I always felt bad for the kid that thought they were crossing their eyes. They were just looking down.
Yeah. You can't just look at the end of your nose.
No, that's not what it is.
It takes more.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny? There was one year at the All Jane Comedy mm-hmm. Festival, and Stacey asked Paige Hurwitz to do a workshop. So it's like you could go, wait, were you there that year?
I was not there with Paige, no.
All of a sudden I could see you on that stage, like with that look on your face. But Paige was like, you have to do this with me because I, you know, whatever. But it was like the lady from, you know, mm-hmm. Last Comic Standing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was so exciting and fun to be able to tell people, like, here's why you are good at stand-up mm-hmm. and here's what you're doing that you do not need to fucking do, that you're only doing so you can survive around the dudes that you are surrounded by doing stand-up.
Yes.
And you have to know the fucking difference, because if you fucking open with 11,000 blowjob jokes, that's fine for the open mic you keep going to, but eventually you're going to need to be on television mm-hmm. and you're going to have to figure out why the fuck we should listen to you aside from the titillation that some weirdos will feel. And it was like, I didn't realize I was filled to the brim mm-hmm. with fucking advice for people. And there was a girl that got on stage in a costume. It was like an animal costume. And then she would talk about it and stuff. And at the end, I just, like, she finished and I'm like, yeah, you can't wear that costume.
I'll lose the costume.
Like, you don't. And then she tried to say, like, well, it's just, it's my thing, or, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's my shtick. And I was like, no, it's not.
No.
It's basically you're delaying doing stand-up.
Yeah.
So either do it or don't do it, but there's no costume.
Yeah. Was she a furry?
No. Was she actually a raccoon?
Although there was a guy that in Austin who, I think they did a Mystery Science Theater. It was a live show called Mr. Sinus Theater, but it was sold out. It was sold. They were great at it, and there were skits in between moments in the movie. But he only did stand up. He was a professor at UT. He'd do stand up once a year during the contest as Skeletor, and he curses. But it was all jokes about He-Man and Castle Grayskull. But they were good. Yes, but he had a skeleton mask, and everyone, he would do well in the contest and make it to the finals, mm-hmm. and all the comics were like, no, you can't, he's hiding behind a mask. And I'm like, this is different, though, because he becomes Skeletor.
Well,
and it writes all this material for, it was just mentioning it now, I'm like, that was really cutting edge for early 2000s.
But John
Erler was his name.
He was doing a character mm-hmm. doing stand-up, which is still still funny because it's almost like you're just doing a one-man sketch, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It was great. And everyone was on board, even if they didn't remember the Masters of the Universe doll collection.
Right. Had, you just need the voice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, everyone knew because it was a famous cartoon. It was so great.
There's a GIF that's the best.
Good job, John.
And way to go, John. That we and probably Skeletor. Talked about it before, but have you seen the one where it's Skeletor? Somebody posted as a GIF, and it was the here's the best exit of all time, and it's Skeletor walking through like a what looked kind of like a mirror thing. I didn't watch the cartoon, so I'm not sure what the plot was, but he walks through this like mirror thing, and then his arm reaches, once he's all the way through, his arm reaches back through and punches the mirror and breaks it so no one else can come through. Shit. Have you seen it?
No, it's I love it. I can visualize it.
There's no way I should be describing GIFs on this podcast, and yet I'm doing it anyway.
You did. You described the way, so he didn't look back. He just punched behind him blindly.
It just the arm comes. So you, as the child viewer watching the cartoon, you're like, Skeletor just went through that mirror. But they left like a 2 second beat, and then the arm comes back through and punches the mirror, so that then no one else can come through.
Oh, that's the best.
It's really good.
That's really fun. I like that a lot.
I think we've put you into the cool zone.
Yeah.
This is the right time.
You
right?
are showing up casually late.
With a box of donuts.
Not too anxiously early, and you have a box of half a box. We ate most of the donuts.
We ate most of them.
We ate the majority. We might need to transfer them into a plastic bag.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's obvious theft has occurred.
How much is in there?
There's 8 donuts left. We ate 12 of them.
Yeah, we're fine.
I think
we
we're good.
12, which means 3 each. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is also a math show.
awesome.
Well, Brandy, we love you. You're the best guest.
Thank you, Brandy.
Anytime.
You're very good at it.
Do you have any plugs?
Just support me just in life, please.
Yeah. I've got lots of dates at brandyposey.com.
Yeah.
Real quick, though, also at the end of this month, beginning of February, I do a thing called the Vagabondies Roadshow, where I'm the MC of a bunch of women doing acoustic music. And it's some of the girls from Bad Cop, and the Bomb Pops, and like punk ladies. And we're doing shows in LA, San Diego, and Costa Mesa.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Anywhere in those areas.
What's that called again?
The Vagabondies Roadshow.
Awesome.
It's Bonnie's really... like my Bonnie lies over the ocean?
Yeah, but like Vagabond, but we're the Vagabondies.
Got it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good time. Those shows are really, 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 really fun, and we want to make it more of a thing. So if you're in the area, come to that. And then Brandazzle on Twitter and Instagram, and Lady to Lady.
Beautiful.
Find me on all the shit.
Do it. And Chris, what's your plug?
Thank you. I'm going on a tour next month. I'm going to be in Minneapolis. I'm going to be in Milwaukee.
And
I'm going to be in Denver. And Winnipeg, and then in March, I'm in Boise, Idaho. Oh, so go to my website, chrisfairbanks.com.
Get ready to see all the good comics that you love on this podcast in real life. Support them. It's where they need you the most, everybody.
It is.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
BYN-AR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Thanks everyone for listening to our first ever two-part episode. I wanted to plug Chris Fairbanks' upcoming tour dates. You can find all of them at chrisfairbanks.com/shows, but he's going to be in Milwaukee January 31st through February 1st, Minneapolis, Minnesota, February 7th through the 8th, Denver, Colorado, February 12th, Fort Collins, Colorado on February 13th, Denver, Colorado on February 14th, Denver, Colorado again, February 15th, Boulder, Colorado on February 16th, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, February 18th through the 22nd, and in Boise, Idaho, March 5th through the 8th. So check it out again, chrisfairbanks.com/shows. And of course, wanted to shout a couple of shows that our amazing guest, hilarious guest, Brandy Posey, is doing this week. In Los Angeles, she's going to be at Sissy Fight at 8 p.m. and then 7 p.m. in Los Angeles on Friday and 8 p.m. in San Diego on Saturday. She's going to be doing the Vagabondies Roadshow that she mentioned in the episode. So you can check out all of her dates at brandyposey.com/tour. And as always, you can get Dinar merch at exactlyrightmedia.com/merch. We'll see you soon. Thank you, and honk honk.